Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another podcast episode of Bear His Cross. I am David Marks, your podcast host, and we are just very thankful that you're joining us for this series on Noah and the Ark and the Flood and the 2x2s. And before we get started, I want to remind everyone to go to bearhiscross.com where you can subscribe to our podcast via your favorite podcast provider. You can also leave comments on some of the topics that we have covered so far. We've done the prodigal son. We have done, of course, Noah and the flood. And so we want you to always just let us know what topics you'd like to study, if you'd like to study more. So that being said, just to do a quick recap into where we were before, we have discussed where God is judging the world, that he looked at the world, he looked at his creation, and because of the filthiness of man, he decided he was going to destroy the world and every living thing in it. And he was getting ready for that, I guess we could say. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we break down the lineage of Noah and how far he was from Methuselah to Adam all the way back. And what brought this on and how that society had become so entrenched in filth, whether it be sexual sin or whether it had been murder, whatever it may be. They were just turning their backs on God. And God said, okay, it's time to clean it up. So he gives Noah the direction to build the ark. We also discussed in the last podcast the dimensions of the ark and what an undertaking this was and how long it took Noah to build it and how that God's measurements and God's design for the ark are the same specs, if we can use that word loosely, on this, how we build ships today. That God's plan, when put into place, is always going to be the best plan. And we know that as Christians, but unbelievers sometimes don't recognize that. So I do want you to recognize that this is a faith-based lesson. You've got to believe it. And we we've had a rough week in our country. It seems like we've had hurricanes and all the mess in Afghanistan and, you know, people still getting COVID. And I actually lost a classmate to COVID this week, and it was very, very heart-wrenching. But I want to remind you all of something. If you're listening to the podcast, that we still belong to the one who created it all. We belong to the one who made every cell and every animal and the DNA strand and the things that are so complicated we still don't understand them. He made it, and he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. So let's build our faith a little bit. Let's talk about some of the wondrous things God has done in this world's past and how that when there was a cataclysmic climate change, and I say that with a little bit of jest, but when there was a cataclysmic climate change taking place, that God preserved human life. And I'm going to actually discuss that just a little bit today, but that'll be towards the end, so hang in there with me for that. So the flood has happened, and to give you a breakdown on what took place with the flood, and my personal philosophy, I guess, on this is I believe that there was a water canopy that surrounded the earth. I believe that when the flood waters fell, that was the first rain that mankind had ever seen. I believe the earth opened up and waters came up, and I also believe that water canopy fell down. And so there was, it's like a two-front attack of water hitting mankind, and it literally covered the world with water. There was a worldwide flood. That's important because if we're going to actually get into what happens after the flood, which we're going to today, we have to understand what is taking place in the world. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives are the only humans on the earth. I want you to think about that. Imagine if the world's population, which at that time could have been between 6 and 7 billion, estimates have been up to 10 billion, all of a sudden went down to 8 people. 8. And the only animals that are surviving that are not water-based animals are the ones that Noah has on the ark with him. So yes, this was a catastrophic climate change. This was a worldwide change. Population went down to 8 people. Totally believe it. Living creatures that walk the earth were only on the ark. I literally believe that. Water-based creatures may be a little different because they're in the water, but I do think that mankind and the animals and the creatures, the only thing existing in the world that walked on land is on this massive ark with Noah. So now that we're going to jump into what takes place after this worldwide flood, in the 8th chapter of in the 14th verse, and I encourage you to turn with me, the book of Genesis, it says, "And in the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living creature that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl, of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth." Now, he's telling Noah and his family to multiply, and of course, all these creatures are going to. 18th verse, "And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark." So now, the waters have receded. Land has become dry enough that now Noah and his family and all of these animals that are not sea-bearing animals have now left the ark. They're going out and they're going to do what happens with male and female. They're going to repopulate. "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So the first thing that we see that Noah did when he survives this cataclysmic flood is he makes an offering to God. He builds an altar and he makes an offering. Now remember that Noah was having to do this with animals he took on the ark. So there had to be offerings made. Of course, at this time in the Old Testament, they made offerings for their sin. Noah gave this as an offering to God for helping them to survive, of course, the worldwide flood. In the 21st verse says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake." All right, here's why I want to bring this up. There are those running around today in our world who think, well, they tell us constantly that we're all going to die from global warming or climate change or the little ice age or whatever. Okay, yes, we can have an impact on our environment. There's no doubt. We can build cities and destroy forests, and we can change the beautiful nature that God's given us. At the same time, anytime people are telling you that spraying hairspray or driving your car is going to kill humanity in 10 years, they're lying to you. That's a scare tactic. And if you are a person of faith, if you are a Christian, let me remind you of something. God's word, if you believe it, is God's word. It's not compromisable. You can't take God's word and twist it and turn it to what you want it to be. I do believe that Paul even wrote in the New Testament that if an angel come down from heaven and gave us a new part of the gospel or a new gospel, that was an accursed or a damnable thing for that angel to do. So God's word is plain. It is clear. It tells us the truth. And if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot compromise what's taking place here. That God, not man, is in control of this world. Do we have an impact? Yes. But he is the one who controls it. So anytime anybody tells you that spraying hairspray and driving your car is going to wipe out humanity, that's a lie. That's 100% a lie. Don't buy into it. I'm just telling you, the whole climate change, global warming, blah, 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 blah. God is in control. He controls the atmosphere. Just wanted to put that out there. You may be mad about me saying that, but I'm telling you by faith, I believe God has the ability to change the temperature, change the thermostat, and do what he wants to this world because it's his creation. So, the Lord says in the 21st verse that he will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. God made a promise. I am not going to wipe out mankind. I'm not going to wipe out the lizards or whatever it may be because of the sin that man is committing. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I do think it's important that in the 22nd verse, it doesn't tell us that the world won't be destroyed, because we know through the revelation and through prophetic text we have in other parts of the Bible that this world is temporal. It's not going to be eternal. And that's important to note. And I know you think, man, well, that tells us that we could kill it with climate change. No, no, no. Because when this world is destroyed, it's going to be a spiritual destruction that we can't even imagine, because Jesus is going to take care of it. He's going to take it away, and he's going to make it anew. So don't get caught up in the fear of that. Don't get caught up in the fear that we're somehow going to destroy this planet, because God clearly says in the 22nd verse, while the earth remaineth, that means he's going to destroy it in time, not us. But while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. That means it's always going to take place. That means it's always going to be here until God makes the new heaven and the new earth. So continuing on in this story of Noah, God tells him, and this is in the 9th chapter, he says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In other words, Noah, it's time for you to have some grandkids. It's time for you to have your sons produce offspring. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on the earth, and upon all fishes of the sea. In your hands are they delivered. So in other words, what God is saying here is that you are going to be the superior being. You're top of the food chain, as we might say in layman's terms. So God has not only said, I want you to go out and I want mankind to replenish the earth with children. He also says, you are going to be top of the food chain. He set man apart. He set man at the top of the food chain there. And God goes on just a little bit and tells them here. So if you're out there today and you are a vegetarian, I respect that. If that's what you want to do, I myself consider myself to be a carnivorian. I would rather have two steaks than a steak and baked potato. And I want to give you a little inkling into that, because God talks about what we're supposed to eat and not eat. If God intended for us to be just vegetarians, for those who are like, you just murder to kill animals and eat them. Okay. I don't think you should just kill for the fun of it. I think it should be a purposeful kill. But at the same time, God tells Noah, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So God then instructs Noah, okay, Noah, get some grandkids. It's that time. He then tells Noah and his family, I have given these animals for you. Now, preferably, I would not want to eat snake. There's probably people who do. But, cow, that's a different story. But he tells them here, every living thing on the earth, I have given you for it to be food for you. I have given you the animals. And here's what he goes on a little bit more in the 4th verse says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. In other words, he's saying you can eat everything but mankind. So if you want to have a cow, go for it. If you want to have turkey, goose, whatever we may think may be good to you, chicken, go for it. Mankind, you can't touch that. Whosoever, 6th verse, sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So now God has established, Noah, you're off the ark. Noah built the altar. It was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. He then tells Noah, okay, dietary, Noah, here's what you can do. You can have fruits, vegetables, and you can have meat to eat outside of man. He then continues on here to say, but here's the thing. You cannot commit murder. I do think that it's important to note here that God lays down a pretty clear rule here. If you take an innocent person's life, if you commit murder, remember Cain and Abel had taken place with the generation of Adam. If you take a man's life, an innocent man's life, and you commit murder, then you are going to be required to forfeit your life also, because God says he made mankind in his image. Now, this is something that is a huge controversial thing politically, I guess, in our country, that people are against the death penalty. But God justifies the death penalty in the book of Genesis. Again, remember, Christian, you can't compromise God's word. Now, this doesn't mean that if we send a soldier off to fight a war. This is talking about if you are a person and you commit murder, you take an innocent person's life and you shed their blood, that is God's creation. Now, I want to hurt some people's butts here just a little bit, but I want you to think about something. We have taken a lot of babies' lives in our country. And I know what you're thinking. I thought this was about Noah. That's true. But we've committed murder, because when we take that baby's life, we're also killing the life of a creation of God that was created in His image. That's why a lot of Christians say abortion is murder. I believe abortion is murder. I believe that life began at conception. And I believe when we take that life through abortion, we're creating something that's created by God in His image. So it's important to note that, you know, God lays out the dietary rules for Noah and his family. And then He says, hey, rule number one, you better not start taking human lives. That was important. Seventh verse says, and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I beheld, I established my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And now is one of the most symbolic things that we see. We get to still see a remnant from this. If you live in Hawaii, you may see this more than I do in Alabama, but you get to see this. The 11th verse says, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more of a flood to destroy the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that floods won't take place. We know that we still see floods, but a worldwide catastrophic flood will never take place again. And God gave us this promise, not just in what He told Noah, but He also said in the 12th verse, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. In other words, this is my covenant, and this is the symbol of my covenant that I'm going to show you and future generations that this is the covenant and the promise that I made. 13th verse, I do set my bow. Notice He didn't say a, He said my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. God said, I'm going to remind future generations of, number one, what you and your family endured on the ark with all the living creatures and all of the dung and everything else. But I'm also going to set this bow in the clouds, in the atmosphere. When we have rainstorms and those light reflections take place and we see a rainbow, that's what God is talking about here. He says, I will set my bow. Now, I've already probably made enough people mad by talking about eating meat when people are vegetarians, or talking about abortion or climate change. Man, I have really hit some topics in this 8th and 9th chapter of Genesis, but I want to show you something here. There is a group of people on earth today that use the rainbow colors for the wrong reasons. They use it to promote their agenda politically. But my God used His symbol, the rainbow, and the colors that it represents to promise us again and again, through future generations and through our generation, that He would never destroy the world by a worldwide flood. So anytime you see a rainbow, Mom and Dad, I think it's important that we teach our children God's Word, and I think it's important that we teach them what God's Word means and what things mean. So when we see the beauty of nature, we remind them God created this. When we're eating a hamburger steak or a filet mignon, is my personal favorite, we can say God commanded us to eat this. This is what God told us we can do. Again, if you don't want to eat it, that's fine. That's more for me. But at the same time, it's important that we teach our children in the society that we're in today, especially, to take a stand, that when they see those beautiful colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, I know many of you probably learned that in school. When we see those beautiful color spectrums, and when we see that rain cloud pass over, and in those clouds we see a rainbow that arcs across the sky, that is God's. And that is God's rainbow. And God gave us that rainbow, and God gave us that symbol because He promised Noah way back a long time ago that He would never destroy this world again with a cataclysmic flood and cataclysmic climate change. And man, you can teach your children some great lessons in doing so. And Christians, that's also a great lesson to us to remember who is in control of the world that we live on. I hope you enjoyed something. I hope you learned something. And as always, may God richly bless you with the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter, or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.